Chapter 9. "You're late," said the man who sat in the seedy, ill-lit level 1313 bar. He wore a fur-lined vest, a tan jacket, and gear that pegged him as a bounty hunter. Sharp eyes gazed out from under a hood. His voice was smooth and cultured, the exact opposite of his disheveled and dirty appearance. "You're impatient," Voss replied. He waved at the bartender and pointed at the beverage his companion held in a grubby hand. A moment later, a BD-3000 droid, her pale metal face smooth and her torso painted a garish scarlet, plunked a shot glass down in front of Voss. One articulated lid closed over a blank eye in a wink, then the droid sidled off. Voss took a sip. Predictably, the beverage wasn't very strong. Obi-Wan Kenobi always eschewed the heavier stuff when he was on a mission.
"I am, rather," Kenobi said, "and I'm not alone. I've been getting pressure from the Council. How's it coming with Ventress? Have you made any progress?"
"Well, I'm her partner now," Voss said, draining the weak drink and motioning for another. "We've been scoring marks together, and making quite the payday, I might add."
"Hey," he asked, keeping his face straight, "do I get to keep the money after this mission?"
Kenobi rubbed his eyes and gave a long-suffering sigh.
"You can't play bounty hunter forever."
Voss mock-pouted and winked at the BD-3000 as she set another glass of mostly water in front of him.
"Now that the two of you have established a rapport," Kenobi went on, "you must find a way to motivate her against Count Dooku."
Voss's joviality ebbed.
Quietly, he said,
"She has plenty of motivation."
Obi-Wan feigned obliviousness to Voss's sudden solemnity.
"Well then, help her tap into it. Soon.
I'll find a way."
"I'm sure you will."
Drink unfinished, Kenobi tossed a few credits on the table and rose. His hand descended on Voss's shoulder for a moment. Then he was gone. Voss was alone in the crowded bar, staring into his glass. Voss ordered another shot and knocked it back, then rolled the glass between his fingers. Many Jedi would raise eyebrows at the thought of meditating in a bar, but Voss had done it before. It was simply a matter of being able to have part of his conscious mind alert while the rest of it sank deeper. And frankly, Voss sometimes wondered if other customers crouched over their drinks and staring into them weren't trying their own versions of the same thing. He deliberately slowed his breathing and his heart rate, letting his gaze soften as he stared into the last few blue droplets in the glass. The essence of his task could be summed up in two words: kill Dooku. It expanded from there to get Asajj Ventress's help to do so. Wider the ring spread, like ripples from a stone tossed into still water, to include without her knowledge. His even breathing caught for an instant, then resumed. That was where the conflict came. He had gained her trust, and even grown to like her. That happens sometimes in this line of work. But Ventress was unique. Even the Council knew it, or else they wouldn't have asked him to pair up with her. What were his key values? What did he owe to himself and to others? To the Jedi Order as a whole? To the Council? To his partner? He was a Jedi, all but born in the temple. Surely he owed them his absolute obedience. The task was a worthy one. If anyone in the universe needed to be stopped, it was Dooku. Voss let himself imagine all the people slain by Dooku in one place. And the image was so horrific, he felt his gut twist with real physical pain. But what about Ventress? She'd saved his life on more than one occasion during their bounty hunts. He owed her. And what about himself? The thought instantly snapped Voss out of his meditation. Jedi did not think about themselves, their own wants or needs or desires.
"Keep it together," he told himself. "You're using her, yes, but you're not doing anything she doesn't want. And you know, when it comes down to it, she's going to want to kill Dooku.
Even his reasoning did not shake the feeling that he was doing something wrong, and he was unable to fall back into his meditation.
He ordered another shot and sat at the table for a long time. Ventress paused in her welding as Voss approached. She had needed to take a couple of hours in relative safety to install some modifications to the Banshee. They had opted to land here on a platform extending from the inner curve of one of the massive portals that burrowed its way into the Coruscant Undercity. Voss had taken advantage of the chance to restock their supplies. Ventress permitted herself to silently marvel at the fact that she had let someone else take her hard-earned credits, and that she hadn't had a moment's concern about whether he and the supplies would return. She flipped up the protective visor and gave him a smile.
"You seem to be in a good mood," he said.
"I suppose I am," she replied. "No reason not to be. We're stocked up, the new modifications to the ship are almost complete, and I've managed to secure another job for us."
She extinguished the torch and removed the visor. Striding up the Banshee's ramp, Voss caught up to her, and they fell into easy step together.
"Oh? Where are we headed?"
"We're going to Obadiah to see the Pikes."
Voss made a sour face. Ventress supposed she couldn't blame him. Voss was almost annoyingly cheerful. "No," she amended. "Strike the almost. And the Pikes were not anybody's idea of fun. The Pike Syndicate liked to call itself a family, but it was driven by anything other than familial love. It was a crime syndicate whose focus was on the distribution of highly illegal spice of all types, from the mild to the mind-destroying.
A barrel of laughs being your partner."
"No one says you need to stick around,"
Ventress offered.
"Ah, but you'd miss me. You know you would."
She didn't reply, only arched a brow. But she had to admit, if only to herself, he was right.
"Looks like we've got a welcoming committee,"
Voss observed. Obadiah was a world as unwelcoming as its inhabitants. Wreathed in mist, the major city was carved out of the jutting obsidian crags of the inhospitable terrain. Centuries ago, the Pikes had built structures from material that resembled deep green smoked glass. From these looming yet eerily beautiful structures, the wealthy and powerful gazed from luminous blue-green windows down at those less fortunate. Ventress settled the Banshee down onto one of the many landing platforms erected on spokes that jutted out from the main Pike Citadel and peered out the viewport.
"Fife," she said. "He's Marg Krim's majordomo. I've worked with him before. Usually he thinks he's more than enough to handle a situation. This should be interesting. Come on."
No fewer than 8 heavily armed guards flanked the strutting Fife. Ventress strode forward, Voss just a step behind her, and came to a stop in front of the Pike.
No matter how often one interacted with him, the species always took getting used to. Taller and slighter than an average human, Pikes had long, spindly legs and arms that bore 3 fingers.
Their heads were large, sleek, and elongated, with a tapered skull. Yet their faces were undersized, small as a child's. The overall effect was unsettling.
"Fife,"
she said coolly. He didn't acknowledge her. His glowing magenta eyes were turned toward Voss, who stayed silent, thankfully, Ventress thought, though his arms were folded across his chest, and he met Fife stare for stare. Ventress regarded Fife for a moment, then, hoping that a brief acknowledgement would be enough for the openly curious Pike, said flatly,
"My partner, Voss."
Fife's head drew back in the characteristic Pike gesture for surprise. He stared at Ventress.
"A partner? You? That's new."
He looked Voss up and down and said to him,
"You must be pretty good for this one to trust you.
I am,
Voss replied matter-of-factly. Fife motioned for them to follow. The eight guards tramped in silent menace behind them as Fife led them through the halls of the Pike Palace. They strode through a marble entrance, the warm sand-colored stone floor flanked by massive dark pillars that emitted green illumination. While the design and artistry of the entranceway was beautiful, Ventress caught glimpses of languid movement in alcoves on each side and the brief gleam of glazed eyes. It was hard not to cough from the sickly sweet smell of spice. Attractive the place was, but what went on here was unpleasant indeed. She returned her attention to Fife.
We've known each other a while,
she said to Fife, quickening her steps to keep pace with him.
Anything you can fill me in on before we hear it from your boss?
He looked at her for a moment, then spoke quietly.
What I can say is that Black Sun is trying to move in on the Pike Syndicate. Marg Krim has been put in a terrible position. Much is on the line for him. Black Sun wants all his business. He risks both losing face with our syndicate and... well, the rest I will leave for him to share.
They reached the foot of the throne. Marg Krim blinked at them, his body twitching with anxiety. In the Force, worry, anger, and fear rolled off him. He wore the headdress that marked his station, a metallic mask affixed to his huge skull that looked like rays of the sun or the plumes of a bird. Fife bowed low, his gangly arms sweeping.
Oh, illustrious Imperator Marg Krim, he said. I have brought the bounty seekers you requested.
Krim continued to stare at Voss and Ventress for so long that Ventress thought the illustrious Imperator might be too heavily drugged to have a coherent conversation. Then he spoke, and he wasted not one word.
My mate and two younglings have been captured by Black Sun and taken to Mustafar.
Oh boy, Voss muttered under his breath.
You will find them and bring them back alive.
His voice quivered with emotion, and he took another puff on his hookah in an attempt to steady himself. Ventress chose her words carefully.
Before we begin, she said, exuding calmness in the Force, there are a few things we need to know. For instance...
Why aren't you sending your own men to bring them back?
Voss interrupted.
Ventress jabbed him with an elbow and whispered harshly in his ear. Because then we wouldn't get paid.
Fortunately, Marg Krim was too lost in his own turmoil to notice the exchange.
I should be able to, shouldn't I? But I cannot. My supposedly devoted men are willing to let my family die if it means they do not have to join Black Sun. That hateful group sees this attack on my family as a victory either way, because they know it will hurt me. My family must be returned safely and secretly. This will show both Black Sun and my own men that Marg Krim is still a powerful member of the Pike family.
He closed his eyes and murmured,
Family!
Don't worry, Voss said warmly. We'll get your family back alive. Provided that's the way we find them.
Ventress added. She did not want to be held responsible for failure if Black Sun kidnappers got trigger-happy.
Bring them home,
Krim said, his voice hollow. Then he added in a whisper,
Please.